I'm Sonali Kolhatkar reporting for Free Speech TV here with Dr. Jill Stein, Green Party candidate for president. Free Speech TV managed to break Jill Stein into the Democratic National Convention on day two of this convention, and we're very excited. And as people have discovered that she is walking through the halls, she has all of a sudden gained a Secret Service detail. Welcome to the program, Dr. Jill Stein.
The Secret Service, by the way, that I had never requested and never particularly wanted, suddenly we have without even asking for it.
There you go. And if anything might be a measure of your importance in this election, this might be one.
For better or for worse, I think we have arrived.
I've talked to you many times in the past, and this is your moment, it seems as though, with so many people sort of disillusioned with what has happened with the election after being inspired by Bernie Sanders. How has your campaign changed from the day that Sanders decided that he was going to not just step down from the race, but endorse Clinton? What did that do to your campaign?
The evening that Bernie Sanders endorsed Hillary, the floodgates opened into our campaign from the Sanders campaign. And people began pouring in through every possible portal, signing on as volunteers, contacting our petition coordinators to help get us on the ballot. And we found a mountain of $27 contributions were suddenly all over our inbox. So in every possible way. And as I try to like just walk down the street in Philadelphia, let alone through the corridors here at the DNC, you know, we have a little security detail around us right now because people are thronging into our campaign right here, actually, at the DNC, where we came not to invade the territory of the DNC, but to actually speak to the press, to inform voters that they are not trapped in the world of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And, you know, you can see how incredibly desperate people are for another choice. We've seen this in the polls that show us that Clinton and Trump are the most disliked and untrusted candidates in history. And after the sabotage revealed by the DNC against Bernie's campaign, there are so many brokenhearted and disillusioned people as Bernie has basically signed on to this strategy of, you know, defeating Donald Trump. But the reality is, the real way to have defeated Donald Trump was through Bernie Sanders' campaign.
I spoke with a young delegate today, 22-year-old millennial, self-described millennial, and he said, I am here because I'm worried that Clinton will not be able to beat Trump. However, Jill, if people do vote for you in increasing numbers, Trump may very well win, and you may find yourself receiving perhaps even more of the kind of venom that Ralph Nader received when Bush beat Gore, beat in quotes, Gore.
Exactly. You know, the powers that be will create all kind of propaganda in order to maintain their stranglehold on power. In fact, this lesser evil thing is a propaganda campaign because what has it achieved? All the reasons people were told to vote for the lesser evil, because they didn't want an expanding war, we didn't want attack on immigrants, we didn't want the offshoring of our jobs, the meltdown of the climate, the attack on our civil liberties, on our rights to privacy, that's exactly what we've gotten by allowing ourselves to be silenced. Democracy needs a moral compass, it needs a set of values to drive our way forward, not just figuring out who we are most against. In fact, that strategy fails miserably because people stop coming out to vote for a lesser evil politician that's throwing them under the bus. Even if somebody might be doing it worse, they don't support that lesser evil politician that's, you know, that's beating them up. And what happens is that the constituencies, the demographic, stays home. So the Democratic base stayed home in 2012, actually in 2014, and in 2010. So we had Congress flip from being blue to being red because people don't come out to vote for the lesser evil. So in fact, the lesser evil paves the way to the greater evil. Those elections were not a win for Republicans. They were a massive loss for Democrats. The way we stand up to Donald Trump is not through the agenda of Hillary Clinton, which is a banker's agenda, which is an agenda of the fossil fuel companies. It's the agenda of the war profiteers and the health insurance predators. This is an agenda that's throwing people under the bus. This just feeds the economic pain and misery that has given rise to right-wing extremism. We know that not only from what's going on in the UK, throughout Europe, here in America, but also what went on in pre-Nazi Germany, when in fact it was economic hard times, and the failure to stand up with a strong, progressive, radical agenda to meet those incredible needs for economic justice. So Hillary Clinton, you know, was part of what has created this crisis through NAFTA, through Wall Street deregulation. These are exactly the kinds of things that have created this economic misery. So putting another Clinton in the White House is exactly what will fan the flames of economic extremism and then this right-wing extremism in response to the economic pain. It's exactly the wrong thing to do.
So, Jill, there is so much activity in the streets. If you're walking around Philadelphia, I was struck by the militancy of protesters who are sort of saying, we refuse to, you know, just go home quietly and turn ourselves into Clinton bots, if you will. So a lot of very clear demands that have your name in it, Jill, not Hill, has become a rallying cry. But I've been to previous conventions, and there are always protesters that are upset with the two-party system. The big question is how to translate that anger on the street into votes. So what is the Green Party strategy this time around? Is it going to be a safe state strategy or an all-state strategy? Is it also going to involve simply reminding people on the street to turn their anger into votes? Because sometimes people forget to do that.
Well, we have a secret weapon this time around. It's called student debt. Because when people hear that there's a way to end student debt, they don't forget about it. And they don't think, oh, I'm too, you know, I'm discouraged, I don't trust the powers that be, I'm not coming out to cancel my debt. Well, actually, when people hear that they can come out and cancel $25,000, $50,000, $75,000 worth of debt by voting green in the election in November, in my experience, there are very few people who will not come out. When people hear that they have the chance to cancel their debt by voting for my campaign, and in fact, you know, Congress and the White House canceled debt for the crooks on Wall Street. It's right and just and outrageous that we have not canceled debt yet for the victims of Wall Street, the young people who should be bailed out of this debt. So when young people learn there's a way to do this, they don't just say, I'm going to vote for you. They get out and they start working for me.
So
and
you're hopeful.
Oh, extremely. And we've come up in the polls, Sonali. This is really...
Are they actually measuring your supporters in the polls now?
Yes.
That was happening
they
much
are measuring,
before.
And not only are they measuring, but we are skyrocketing. We were at 2% about 2 months ago. We're now at 6 to 7%, 7 in the most recent CNN poll. So we've basically tripled without any coverage by corporate media to speak of, a little bit from Fox News, but that's about it. That's not where our voters are coming from, you can be sure. Our voters are coming from Bernie people who are changing their registration, who are getting out to help our petition drive.
And these are people who wouldn't have been engaged in the political process to begin with, many
That's
of them.
That's right. And in fact, they are not just, you know, giving us lip service. They are giving us donations. They are giving us their volunteer time. So what we've seen in the Bernie campaign is an incredibly serious and committed political movement that is not going away.
Now, you've talked and publicly invited Sanders to come and, you know, be part of your presidential ticket. And you've been saying this for quite a while, but especially after he endorsed Clinton. Has he had any response to it? I know that, of course, he has to appear to be remain above the fray. But is it even a possibility if he sees the support in the streets?
I mean, it really depends on his political philosophy. You know, my hope is that when he sees how much support there is for a third party vehicle for his movement, my hope is that eventually he will come around, because he was very discouraged by his own experience over many decades in Vermont. And that was a different day and age. you know, we're dealing with a different generation now, a generation that has been thrown under the bus, particularly around student debt, around jobs, around the skyrocketing cost of housing and education, around the collapse of the climate and their ability to have a future, around the expanding wars and the blowback against us and the devastation of our budget by this rampant militarism that is bankrupting us. So we have a generation basically that has signed off and is looking for another place to go. So it's a very different political landscape than the one in which Bernie basically gave up on third parties. So I'm hoping he will eventually come around when he sees how powerful this movement is. You had mentioned before, how do we actually get people to translate this into votes? And I think that has everything to do with the fear factor. People are intimidated into voting against their worst fear rather than for their true beliefs. And it's really important that we discuss this, because when you sit down and you actually look at it, this politics of fear delivered all those things we were afraid of. It doesn't hold up. It is just a gateway to the greater evil. And in this election, we are not just deciding what kind of a world we will have, but whether we will have a world at all or not. If you look at the climate day of reckoning that's closing in, that's now a mere decades away, according to latest science, it could be as soon as 2050 that we see 9 feet of sea level rise, an absolutely civilization-ending hit. Or whether you're looking at nuclear weapons and the new nuclear arms race that has been created, particularly by Barack Obama, who's calling for $1 trillion of new nuclear weapons, and then Hillary Clinton, who is calling for an air war over Syria in the form of a no-fly zone with a nuclear-armed Russia. So we're in a real danger zone right now, not to mention the expanding wars that know no end. So on that basis, you know, we're saying forget the propaganda campaign of the lesser evil. That's nonsense. It's time to stand up, reject the lesser evil, and fight for the greater good like our lives depend on it, because in fact they do. Don't be intimidated into voting for more of what is throwing you under the bus. Remember, we have 42 million young people that we can mobilize who can actually win this race simply on their numbers alone. Add to that 25 million Latinos, as well as other immigrants, who have seen that the Republicans and Trump are the party of hate and fear-mongering, but the Democrats are the party of detention and deportation and night raids of women and children, for God's sakes, coming from Honduras, where Hillary Clinton helped create this violent coup from which they are fleeing. So we're saying don't be intimidated into voting for more of what is taking us all over the cliff now. We can stand up with the knowledge that we actually have the power, we have the numbers, and we have the solutions that we need to create an America and a world that works for all of us.
Now, Jill, you have run for president before in 2012, much different experience, I imagine, than now, because, of course, back then, Mr. Obama was running for re-election, and he was essentially, for Democrats at least, and liberals and progressives, was a relative shoo-in, although you, of course, ran as hard as you would have. This time around, very different campaign. How do you see this election year changing the Green Party as a whole? Because we've all talked about how we need our political revolutions need to be about more than just an individual person. So outside of Dr. Jill Stein, how does the Green Party grow?
Well, the Green Party is growing massively right now because so many people are changing their registration. They're not only registering green, they're contributing. They are volunteering, they are helping with our ballot drives, and they are starting new locals. We have lots of disgruntled Democrats who've changed their registration who are great organizers. The Bernie campaign is like the cream of the crop of organizers. They're just incredible and inspirational. They are coming over and building an organization here now in a revolutionary party, having had it with a counter-revolutionary party that has basically destroyed the revolutionary campaign that they built.
So we've had people like Chris Hedges, Cornel West, the Bernie or Bust folks, who have thrown their weight behind you.
That's right. And we have so many candidates who are running in down ballot races, like Margaret Flowers, who only came over into the Green Party in the last year or two, and then formally to run for office right now. Her experience with Medicare for All was really the last straw for her, watching how the Democratic Party purposefully sabotaged a policy that there's enormous need for, that lives are being lost by the thousands every year, tens of thousands, in fact. So there are many people like Margaret who are new Greens, who are running for mayor, for Congress, for Senate, for governor, for school committee, and for city council. A good example is Gail McLaughlin, who was 8-year mayor until she termed out in Richmond, California, who turned eminent domain on its head, and instead of being used against everyday people, she turned it against the big banks to ensure that homeowners would not be thrown out of their homes. Instead, they are seizing mortgages from the banks in order to offer them back to homeowners at market value. So these are the kinds of things that Green mayors are doing, or Mayor Jason West in New Paltz, New York, who was the first mayor to actually stand up for equal marriage and who officiated over those ceremonies and went to jail on behalf of it. So Greens are actually leading the charge on clean energy, renewable energy, on stopping climate change. We are calling for 100% clean renewable energy right now by 2030 to end this crisis, and for a ban on fossil fuels. How did New York get its ban on fracking? Because Howie Hawkins stood up and challenged power in the New York gubernatorial race. Otherwise, Cuomo would not have been pressured into it. This is why Frederick Douglass says that power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has and it never will. That demand has to be brought into the political marketplace, not just on the street. If we must fight in the street. We must be a social movement. And I say fight metaphorically. We support nonviolent change and a nonviolent fight. And it's that nonviolent fight in the streets which is the true driver of transformative social change. But it must also develop a political voice if it's going to challenge power and actually create the transformative change that we must have if we are going to get out of these next couple of decades alive.
So you might be the only presidential candidate left who talks about issues rather than strategy. Everyone is very much caught up in the idea of strategy right now and the fear of Donald Trump winning and using the strategy of voting for Hillary in so-called swing states.
Well, and are they talking about strategy because they're afraid of Donald Trump? Or are they fear-mongering about Donald Trump so that they don't have to talk about the real content of their policies, which is what is driving the economic meltdown and the misery that's not only creating Donald Trumps of the world, but which is also throwing the American people under the bus. Hillary Clinton does not want to talk about her track record of ending aid to families with dependent children. She doesn't want to talk about her track record of the criminal reform bill, the three strikes and you're out bill that gave rise to mass incarceration. She doesn't want to talk about her track record deregulating Wall Street and creating the meltdown that sent 9 million jobs up in smoke and stole 5 million homes from families that were basically cheated with predatory mortgages. So Hillary Clinton would greatly prefer that there not be an inconvenient truth like myself in the race. And I want to really encourage people to support our campaign to ensure that I do get into the race so that we can hold Hillary's feet to the fire and stand up to Donald. Hillary cannot stand up to Donald because she's in the pocket of the insurance companies and supports the Trans-Pacific Partnership for many decades and for many years, and before that supported the NAFTA as well. So we need to stand up and hold our feet to the fire. I encourage people, support my campaign so that we can get into the debates and then hold on to your hat and let's see where this election goes.
Well, finally, Jill Stein, have you actually, you've obviously experienced a lot of love as you've been in Philly, and even I understand in the convention, I've watched people, Bernie supporters, come up to you and take selfies with you. But have you gotten hate mail? Have you gotten those people saying, you are the reason that Trump is going to win? You know, because it can get very emotional, the discourse that's taking place. And I think the United States isn't as used to this level of political discourse as we're in right now. And so we tend to, kind of devolve into a lot of vitriol. Have you been the target of any of that vitriol personally?
I'd say just about none, practically zero. And I think the reason for that is that people are clamoring for what we're offering, so that Hillary didn't have those votes to start with. There is not a new entitlement for politicians that says that they own our votes. They have to earn our votes.
The Bernie and Bust people are being lectured to every day on social media in the halls, and I'm surprised that they haven't aimed that at you.
I think they are afraid. I think the Clinton campaign is afraid to draw attention to the fact that there is another woman candidate who actually stands up for those things that women actually need. We are a very inconvenient truth to Hillary. So the fear-mongering has not yet started against my campaign, because Hillary is kind of quaking in her boots that people should discover that there actually is a campaign for Bernie's revolution to continue, for the cause of women to actually be uplifted, for the cause of people, planet, and peace over profit to prevail. This is where the American people stand. They are not being fooled right now. There's a frenzy of a media campaign right now around Hillary, but you are not seeing love for Hillary. You are not seeing people turn out. You are not seeing a grassroots movement. So, you know, it's clear she does not have the wind behind her. She's in for a lot of trouble going forward. And most of all, she cannot stand up to the threat of Donald Trump. We need a true progressive agenda. I encourage people to stand up for what it is that's not only going to save our hides, but which is also going to stop this right-wing extremism. Throughout history, it has only been a radical progressive agenda that can stop it. There are so many people right now who are being thrown under the bus that they are not being fooled by Hillary's rhetoric. Mainly, we are hearing it from the party operatives and from the political commentators who, what do they want to preserve? They want to preserve their little niche. It's their little party and their little advantage that they are trying to protect. The American people are not resonating with that fear campaign, because they are every bit as much afraid of Hillary Clinton. In fact, Hillary's own supporters are not, for the most part, supporting her. Their main motive is to oppose Donald Trump. And Donald Trump's supporters are not mainly supporting him. According to the recent CNN poll, they are mainly opposing Hillary Clinton. What's wrong with this picture? Democracy is not what we don't want or who we are most afraid of and how to avoid them. Democracy needs a moral compass. It needs our values. We need to stand up, especially now that we know we have the numbers to prevail. I encourage people, forget the lesser evil, fight for the greater good like our lives depend on it, because in fact they do. We have the power to create an America and a world that works for all of us, that puts people, planet, and peace over profit. The power to create that world is not just in our hopes and our dreams. It's not just with her. It's not with her at all, in fact. It is with us. We are the ones we've been waiting for. Let's stand up and make it so. Join me at Jill2016.com.
Thank you so much, Jill Stein, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much, Sonali. Great talking.